wants her to be herself. And she'll never change, don't know how to hide her stubborn will or her fighting side. But you treat her right, and she'll love you like no one else. Yeah, how about them cowgirls? Boys, ain't they something? Sure are some proud girls. But you can't be the loving, and I tell you.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The FBI releasing a photo of a person of interest in the murder of conservative commentator Charlie Cook at Utah Valley University. Authorities also recovering a rifle.
The murder weapon was a high-powered bolt-action rifle, according to investigators who say they found the gun discarded in the woods nearby the shooting. FBI Special Agent in Charge Robert Bowles says they have clear video of the shooter and are using technology to identify the person, and they have other evidence.
Investigators have also collected footwear impression, a palm print, and forearm imprints for analysis.
He says the shooter appears to have blended in on campus and appears college-aged. Alex Stone, ABC News.
In Colorado, authorities are still searching for a motive after a high school shooting yesterday that injured two students. Police say the suspect killed himself. And the nation is pausing to mark 24 years since the September 11th attacks, when hijackers crashed planes into the Twin Towers in New York City, the Pentagon, and a field in Pennsylvania. This is ABC News. Opening statements began today in Florida in the trial of the man accused of trying to assassinate President Trump last year on the golf course during the campaign. Ryan Ruth is representing himself in the trial. A day after wholesale prices showed a dip, another key gauge on consumer prices is out today, showing Americans paid more for nearly everything in August compared to last August. Another sign of the labor market troubles, too. Unemployment claims soaring last week.
First-time applications for jobless benefits had been coasting along at a fairly steady pace all year. But in the week ending September 6th, 263,000 were filed, an increase of 27,000 from the week before. It's the highest level for initial claims since October of 2021.
ABC's Jim Ryan. The average rate on a 30-year U.S. mortgage fell this week to its lowest level in nearly a year. It reflects a pullback in Treasury yields ahead of an expected interest rate cut. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Allen. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin parents and educators need to be able to talk to kids about safe online behavior, especially when it comes to intimate photos that can be used for sextortion. Call says it's a growing threat to young people.
The best way to protect children online is through maintaining and creating open lines of communication with your kids by giving them the tools to identify unsafe and unhealthy relationships, and to reach out for help if it's needed.
Wisconsin DOJ has resources available through the Office of School Safety to help kids learn how to be good online citizens. The state legislature is considering a bill that would criminalize sextortion, which is threatening to release someone's images unless they pay up. A student's accused of having a gun at a Madison high school.
A 17-year-old who attends La Follette High School in Madison arrested after school staff received a report that he brought a gun on Tuesday before hiding the weapon and returning to school. That's according to a Madison Police Department incident report cited by WKOW. Officers found an unloaded handgun in a yard, ammunition in the student's backpack, and a cell phone photo of the student holding the gun and dressed in the same clothes he wore to school. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A bill at the Capitol would expand Wisconsin's move-over law to require drivers to move over for any disabled vehicle and not just emergency vehicles. Hubertus Republican Representative Jim Piovarczyk is the bill's co-author.
The law as it stands doesn't protect ordinary motorists, the parent waiting in the car with a child for a tow truck, the teenager trying to change a flat tire, or the Good Samaritan who pulls over to help someone in distress.
If the legislation gets signed into law, Wisconsin would become the 20th state to expand move-over laws. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. You can expect another beautiful September day with partly sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid-70s, barely any wind as well. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, even warmer with plenty of sunshine, feeling like summer with highs in the lower 80s. A bathroom you always wanted, interest and payment-free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet at 800-329-4115. Current temperature, 67 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Realize a good steak doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of work. Then let's take another look at the Maha Commission proposals to make our children healthy again. The U.S. MEF team is on the move, and we need to do a checkup on what's happening in sorghum.
Live, never, ever, ever forget, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Brian Glenn from Farm Bureau. Then it's Jay Taylor from AgriBeef and Josh Mashoff from the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Later, Amy France from the National Sorghum Producers. Directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
Are you sure all of that is for this morning?
This is what I have on our list. Yeah, we got a lot to get to. Lots to get to. Busy morning. Busy morning.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It's a good thing we already had the conversation with the folks on the ground in South Korea with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. I had that conversation with them earlier today and to find out what they're learning, about acceptance and the demand for U.S. meats, pork, beef, poultry, go up and down the protein list. What the demand is in South Korea for the products and why they are there, and a big part of that, of course, is in building relations. But I loved it. We also got into not just relations but reputations of U.S. quote unquote cowboys in the South Korean market. It's kind of it was kind of a cool conversation. No, it's not kind of. It is a cool conversation.
What time was it there? When you talked with him,
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Yeah. As we were talking at 8 o'clock this morning. So
excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit different. We've got Brian Glenn from American Farm Bureau going to be on here talking about some of the details of the Maha Commission report. And then Amy France, chair of the National Sorghum Producers, coming up at the end of the show. Some issues happening in the sorghum industry that we need to get caught up on. All right, Davis, let's go ahead and get started with the news.
You bet. The National Weather Service says rain chances will continue over parts of the northern Intermountain region, the northern Rockies, and the northern plains through Saturday. Late Friday, upper-level energy will move over the Great Lakes, producing showers and thunderstorms overnight Friday into Saturday. Corn and soybean futures posted mild gains overnight, with wheat futures under pressure. The U.S. dollar index was weaker, with crude oil slightly higher just ahead of the open. What do you make of the markets by 10 a.m., Chip?
Yeah, we've still got some strength happening here, just slight strength in corn. Beans are working on it, 5 to 8 cents higher in the bean market. Soybean meal, bean oil also working to the upside. Wheat is higher. And look out in the cattle complex. The bulls are running again over there. We've got $2.5, $3 gains in the live cattle and is $3.5 to $4 gains in feeders.
Well, Chip, the CPI numbers are out. Annual inflation as measured by the Consumer Price Index, that's the CPI, picked up in August, rising to 2.9%. That marks the highest rate since January and is up from 2.7% in July. Price increases were led by food, used vehicles, and new vehicles. CPI rose 0.4% month over month, higher than 0.2% in July and above forecasts. Core CPI, which does not include food and energy prices, steadied at 3.1%. That's the same as July and February's peak. On the month, Chip, that core CPI is up 0.3%.
Yeah, overall, the 2.9% CPI gain, that's not nothing. That is above the Fed's target of a 2% inflation rate. So I don't know if that's going to have a big impact, but I think it probably locks in a quarter point rather than a half point interest rate cut when we get to next week's FOMC.
Well, shares of U.S. biofuels companies have slumped on fears Trump administration policies may fall short of fully offsetting exemptions from renewable fuels blending mandates. According to Reuters, the Trump administration is considering a plan that would require large refiners to take on half or even less than half of the blending obligations originally assigned to small refineries that received waivers. In response, RIN prices are exploring lows not seen since June. The ethanol industry, meanwhile, says year-round E15 is a national security issue and belongs in the annual defense bill, which is now before Congress. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the push to make year-round E15 part of the defense bill has several backers, including himself. Chip?
Okay, well, let's be honest. They're looking for any major must-pass bill to attach this to. That's the bottom line. And I'm not saying that it's a bad strategy. This is how things get done now, unfortunately. The division in Congress is too narrow to get anything done, regardless of bipartisan support.
Looking into the future, I'm getting something. Yes, we will have Senator Chuck Grassley on Monday morning. Maybe we'll talk about it then.
All right.
World crude oil demand forecast to increase by 740,000 barrels per day year on year in 2025, up marginally from last month's IEA report. Quote, with resilient deliveries in advanced economies contrasting with relatively muted consumption in emerging companies, global oil supply inched upward in August to a record 106.9 million barrels per day as OPEC Plus continued unwinding output cuts. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Angie Stump Denton. She is the editorial director there at Drovers. Good morning, Angie. How are you?
Good morning, Chip. How are you today?
Doing just fine. Angie, we have been talking a lot about how beef demand has stayed much stronger, much longer than expected given the increase in price. I don't think there's any question that quality is a big part of the reason for that. But we cannot forget that a quality steak in the meat case, it doesn't just happen. It takes work, doesn't it?
It does. There's lots of collaboration that's needed up and down the chain, up and down that supply chain from that cow-calf producer all the way to the packer to get that quality product to our consumer.
Yeah.
And one of the stories that I have up on Drover, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, tell me about a prime opportunity collaborating to improve beef.
Yeah, that's a story that we have up on drovers.com right now. I had a conversation with or listened to Dallas Novak and Travis Thomas. Dallas is a commercial cow-calf producer as well as a feeder in Minnesota. And then Travis Thomas, he's the head of procurement for Upper Iowa Beef. And yeah. They talked about that importance of collaborating and sharing information. You know, and success today is less about competition and more about partnership. And I think that's something we all need to hear and we all need to take to heart in the beef business today. Dallas, you know, being in Minnesota, he talked about the importance of adapting cattle genetics to your environment. You know, he's there in that corn-rich place where you can feed them corn and you can get them fatter. Mm-hmm. But the key is not to, you know, is to keep that high-quality carcass without just pouring the corn to them. Travis talked about the importance of sharing that information. His facility, they cut harvest about 25 head per weekly from 450 head. Accounts to just trailer deliveries, but he says transparency is the key. And he's like, I can't ask you as a cattle to make cattle better if I don't give the information on the backside. So it's all about sharing that information up and down the chain.
It certainly is, Angie. Good stuff. Yeah, and Travis and the whole team there at Upper Iowa Beef, that's a success story that we'll have to talk about it at some point in the future. Angie, thank you so much. That is Angie Stump Denton, editorial director at Drovers, www.drovers.com.
At a certain point, you can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zatavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols, because 11 wasn't enough, all to ensure that you get consistent quality performance from every seed. Performance that can pay off with better soybean yield. Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
If you want bigger yields, you got to start with better soil prep. And Great Plains Vertical Tillage can help you get the most out of every acre. Turbo Chisel leaves your ground level for one-pass tools in the spring. Max Chisel slices and buries residue with Samurai Edge blades. Ultra Chisel handles your toughest post-harvest conditions. And the VT 1500 Subsoiler resets those yield-robbing compaction layers deep below the surface. Talk to your local Great Plains dealer or visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Maximum yield starts here.
Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
Looking to amplify your soybean yield potential? Let's talk about soybean blends. Not every seed company offers them, but there's a reason they're Champion Seeds' best-selling products at every maturity. With the blend, the traits from both varieties help maintain your yield potential and protect you from the floor. And these blends consistently yield higher than the individual varieties combined to make them. See what they can do for your yields at plantchampion.com.
When the game is on the line. Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Jeff. Glad that you're with us on this Thursday morning. Thursday morning already. Man, here we go. The make America Healthy Again Commission delivered its proposals to make our children healthy again. And the industry is, the ag industry is, as it should be, is going through the proposals trying to figure out what it might mean to commercial agriculture going forward. And helping us do that is Brian Glenn, Director of Government Affairs at the American Farm Bureau Federation. Brian, welcome to AgriTalk. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Chip. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Glad you're here. So, make our children healthy again, the proposals. Did it deliver? Did it deliver a strategy to accomplish that?
Thank you, Chip. Yeah, I heard you say earlier, I can't believe it's only Thursday, and it has been a long week. and certainly the MAHA Commission report coming out this week has made everyone very busy. But I would say the MAHA Commission's willingness to meet with farmers across the country and hear our concerns was very important to the MAHA Commission report recognizing solutions within agriculture.
Yeah. In when the original MAHA Commission report was released, one of the big concerns was that even though farm groups asked, including AFBF, asked to be part of the conversation, they were really excluded from it. In this case, it seems that ag interests were well represented, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we found that the MAHA Commission was open to meeting with us and having conversations, really increasing transparency in the process. As you mentioned before, the assessment that came out in May, there was a lack of transparency, which really led to inconsistencies found within that assessment. And I know American Farm Bureau, we put out a press release after that May assessment, and we called on transparency. We asked to be able to have our farmers and ranchers be part of the process and share their story. And we found that the commission was willing to have our farmers and ranchers meet with them. And it led to a more positive outcome in the report that came out this week.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I agree with you on that. And there's a couple of points that I want to get to specifically, but how did that farmer's seat at the table impact the proposals that were released here?
Yes, sir. So the report included several positive policy recommendations that support farmers and ranchers across the country. There were recommendations to provide a foundation for a lifetime of smart choices, which include focus on American-grown fresh fruits, vegetables, and meat. They included a recommendation on reintroducing whole milk into school meal programs. They even took an opportunity to highlight efforts to prioritize and support voluntary conservation programs under USDA NRCS. They specifically mentioned the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, the Conservation Stewardship Program. So, all longstanding priorities of Farm Bureau and important to farmers and ranchers. They even also included a recommendation on highlighting EPA's already robust pesticide regulatory process. They recommended ways to optimize that robust process to accelerate innovation. There are many tools and technologies that are delayed within the EPA Office of Pesticide Programs. And those are tools that farmers need access to help manage pests and disease on their farm. Ways to support that regulatory process and that robust process within EPA, those are welcome.
Brian, I've got, following the initial report from the Make America Healthy Again Commission, I had a feeling that the commission was going to be very much gung-ho in exposing all the problems that are in the food supply chain in America. This makes me think that as they dug into it, what they found was pretty satisfactory in the fact that the American food supply chain is operating as it should, and it is providing a safe and healthy and nutritious product to consumers. To me, the proposals that I'm seeing, Brian, they're really not going to change anything for us, are they?
Well, I think what they recognized is that farmers and ranchers are central to MAHA. And, you know, we certainly support improving health outcomes for all Americans. And farmers and ranchers do that every day by delivering safe, nutritious food to the pantries of America. So, you know, I think these recommendations help support farmers and ranchers to be able to do that. So, yes, I think that there were several positive policy recommendations within the report that we okay. noticed. Of course, you know, engagement, we continue to engage with the commission, and, you know, we ask that farmers and ranchers continue to share their story. And, you know, our food system has evolved and innovated over time to provide healthy and nutritious food to meet diverse needs and preferences of Americans. And we look forward to continuing to further innovate and promote health.
All right. On the pesticide issues, corn growers came out and they were very happy with what was in the proposals. The report says to continue to rely on EPA's current gold standard for chemical registration. That's awesome. But there is a section in there on cumulative exposure. Are the proposals for studies in that section something that we should be concerned about going forward, Brian?
I'm glad you mentioned that section, and related to the pesticide piece in that cumulative exposure part, they even call out pesticides and the statute of FIFRA and the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, as those are, that cumulative exposure framework is being done at EPA and being being included. So I think that was another opportunity for them to highlight the already robust process at EPA within regulating pesticides. But certainly, to your point, more engagement is needed. You know, this report has come out. There are recommendations in this report. There's lots of them, asking for different federal agencies to look at different things. And I certainly don't think this will be our only bite at the apple. I think there will be more opportunities right. for us to engage. And that is really the message that, that needs to ring loud and clear for farmers and ranchers. You know, I think us sharing our voice and story has led to more positive outcome in this report. And I think we need to continue to do that.
I'm with you on that, Brian. I think it's very important that the farm groups were heard in this conversation, and that, you know, they brought science back into the conversation is what I feel like, Brian. And geez, that's where we've got to stay focused on this. There's a whole section on agriculture deregulation. It's not a long section. You know, I mean, these are quick reads. If people haven't read the commission proposals yet, you need to Google it and just go take a look at it, because it's not a long read. But there's a section on agriculture deregulation. What do we need to know about that?
So that, you know, generally efforts to streamline regulations to help support farmers and ranchers in what they do, those are welcome. And as I had mentioned, you know, there were specific recommendations on supporting and enhancing voluntary conservation programs, longstanding conservation programs that farmers and ranchers have used, ways to streamline regulation, even within the Office of Pesticide Programs at EPA. You know, look, EPA has a very robust regulatory system for reviewing pesticides. It takes on average 11 years for a pesticide to make it to market. Companies invest in upwards of $300 million for products. But the resources within the Office of Pesticide Programs are low, and they need to continue to be able to register and review new pesticides in a timely manner. And what we've seen is a backlog in a lot of those registrations and those reviews, and efforts to improve processes at EPA with the Office of Pesticide Programs are welcome.
Yeah, yep, no doubt about it. Brian, thank you so much for making time for us and bringing insights and perspectives into this MAHA Commission proposals. Thank you, Brian.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, Brian Glenn, Director of Government Affairs, American Farm Bureau Federation. Coming up next, we're hitting the ground in South Korea with the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
At a certain point, you can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zatavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough, all to ensure that you get consistent quality performance from every seed, performance that can pay off with better soybean yield. Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 22 to 1634, November down 25 to 1633, December down 19 to 1681, January down 10 at 1694. Triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets as the trade believes that the recent sell-off has been a bit overdone, and so we do have some short covering happening. Box beef prices have been mixed. Hog futures also moving mostly higher, even though the export inspections report was not viewed as very bold. This is a lot of technical buying in the hog market. October live cattle up 97 cents to 232.12. September feeder cattle up 207 to 355.27. October hogs up $1.42 to 98.25. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets, soybeans, and wheat all mostly higher today. A lot of positioning ahead of the WASDE report tomorrow. Now export inspections were quiet with corn sales at 539,000 metric tons. Soybean sales at 541,000 metric tons. There is some talk that China could potentially return to purchasing a soybean set from the U.S. That's also helping to provide some support to the market. New crop corn up 3.25 to 420 and a quarter. New crop beans now up 8.5 to 1033 and three quarters. September wheat up 1.25 to 496 and a quarter with markets. I'm Brian Winnekins.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day in-person or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
To everything, to-
We talk all the time about the importance of exports and keeping that those relationships with our buyers of U.S. ag products overseas going, and we're going to do that again right now. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. Joining us right now, Jay Tyler. He is the Executive VP for Corporate Affairs at AgriBeef, and he is also the U.S. Meat Export Federation Chair-Elect. Jay, welcome to AgriTalk, man.
Thanks, Chip. Great to be here.
Glad that you're here. We've also got Josh Mashoff. He is the president of the Illinois Pork Producers Association and director of production at the Mashoffs. Josh, good to see you. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
All right. Very good. Jay, let's start with you on this. You are there in South Korea and building up those relationships that are so important for U.S. trade into Asia and South Korea in particular. Tell us what you've been doing so far, Jay.
Yeah, great, Chip. Well, we're here with the Heartland tour, and we're going through visiting with all types of different customers, the different types, how they're using the product here for beef and pork and lamb, but mostly beef and pork, and just seeing how they're using the products in these different types of usage patterns and things that we see with consumers here in South Korea.
Okay. Well, Josh, what are you learning? What are you learning from our trade partners over in South Korea?
Well, that's a great question, Chip. A ton. Honestly, it's been overstimulating here for about the first 4 days. biggest things I've seen just – you know, the diverse ways that they can present our product in different market, market cuts and meals. One of the things we've talked about so much here already that's completely contrasting to the way we traditionally see families eat in the U.S. is they have home-ready meals for HMRs. And, they take the product from the boat or a plane in some cases, and repackage it. And, you know, because of the infrastructure and the way the society lives here and the dense population, kitchens aren't as large. And so, depending upon the size of the family, they got to have something that's pretty convenient to be able to access. And so, a lot of these buyers, retailers will figure out how to take our product and mix it with, some vegetables to make a complete home ready meal. For these families. And it's just, it's mind blowing, right? I mean, we're used to in the U.S., you gotta have the three courses all in the same meal and figure it out. And here they've just put it together in a one-stop shop so quick.
Yeah, that is amazing to me. When we talk about different cultures, that's part of the important work that we do, Jay, at USMEF is understanding those different markets so that we can put together a meal pack that is ready to consume at home, isn't it?
It is, and it's so amazing to see that our overseas staff here that they, whether it's Korea or any other market, but particularly here in Korea, to figure out what is it that's what pieces and parts can we market here in a way that's different than and bring more value to our producers, and that's really what they're doing here, and we're seeing that, as Josh mentioned, with these different home meal replacements. We see it with really thin slicing of products and for cuts we don't use in the States. We saw tendons in soup, and we've seen the very thin cut the chuck rolls and things for shabu-shabu. And it's so diverse the way the products are consumed here and relatively quite different than we have in the States. And that's where the whole puzzle works, when you could get the different pieces and parts going to the right markets and to create more value for us as producers.
Jay, you nailed it right there. These markets, these different cultures will consume pieces of that carcass that we just typically don't. And every time we talk about exports, Josh, we're talking about adding value. It's not like we're... There is some competition with the meat case in the U.S. There's no question about that. But for the most part, we're just adding value by selling product that we can't sell in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the other things we've seen over here a little bit, at least on the pork side, and I think beef in this trip too, is to be honest, we're still fighting a little bit for some case space over here. You know, it's unfortunate, I guess, but fortunate at the same time, depending upon how you want to look at the two sides of the same coin. We saw a lot of Australian beef in the last day, a lot of Canadian pork. And the U.S. pork and the U.S. beef was a little bit sparse. The silver lining in that is the U.S. pork and the U.S. beef were flying off the shelf 2 weeks ago, so much so that there is no product left. So, you know, that's a little bit of a supply thing that we got to continue to work through. It's a great, great, you know, tailwind for us to continue to work at. The delivery, the logistical methods, the way they're getting it from the port, the way they're prepackaging, the way they're presenting cuts, the way they're marinating it and presenting it, the convenience and the packages are so versatile. You know, we saw a company with the name Fresh Easy, and it just made me think that, you know, we're behind in the U.S. a little bit when we think about the way we look at that same case space. But easy, simple, and fresh is the way it's working over here. Sometimes I just wish we could figure that out at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, we've talked about how since COVID, consumers have learned how to cook at home, and that's very important for both beef demand and pork demand at home. But we could make it easy too, and I think what I hear you saying, Josh, is they've figured out how to make it easy.
Absolutely. I mean, they've got it to the point where, you know, there's a high percentage of people here in Korea that are single, and then there's you know, people that are hosting other individuals for meals. And so, you know, to be able to walk into the store and you don't have to worry about whether you're buying in bulk or whether you're buying for a single individual. We saw a package today. John Harith and I took a video of where it was a frozen package meal replacement that inside of it, it took me a little bit to understand there were five individual meals packaged inside of the larger package that gave you so much more versatility and flexibility.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Jay, I understand that you visited a port there in South Korea. What did you learn?
Yeah, we saw the port of Busan, which is the fourth busiest port in the world for transshipments. Wow. And it's an amazing place. Most of the imports are coming in here, and they're being distributed from here. I think about 70% or so of all imports into Korea are coming in through the port of Busan, which is down in the south. And what we saw was a lot of automation, very efficient and very unique distribution model that comes out of here. And they realize they've got competition, these ports around the world. But this shipping lanes coming in and out of Korea are very important to our trade. And we got to see that firsthand while we were here, all of our producers that are on this trip.
Very good. Very good. Hey, Jay, tell me about the producers that are with you on the trip. Who do they represent?
Yeah, we've got some producers from the different the beef councils here. We've got pork producers. We've got soybean producers. We've got corn producers. We've got really all the sectors of most of the sectors of our USMEF membership are represented on this trip. And these stakeholders are all seeing firsthand what's happening in this market. And the USMEF staff here in Korea has been amazing at really opening up everybody's eyes to the versatility of how our product is used here and the different types of not just one type of customer, but all the different types of customers, as Josh was just talking about, mm-hmm. that they have here. And we're just really, really being the beneficiary of this opportunity.
Awesome. Awesome. Josh, you mentioned the retail side of things earlier. Have you made your trip to Costco already today?
We did make the trip to Costco. There was some U.S. pork and beef there. We had a few samples. They were all phenomenal.
Yeah, so they give out samples at Costco in South Korea too. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, it was essential for us to try the samples at Costco.
Yeah, and everybody wanted to get pictures with all the guys here with our cowboy hats and producers. Yeah. Everybody wanted to be there.
So it was great.
It was great.
You know, okay, what you just said right there is part of the reason that we have to do these trips. And it's not just building and maintaining relations with the businesses that are doing the importing, but it's maintaining a relationship and kind of a reputation with the consumers over there, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. It's just key for us to be able to tell our story. We're going to have a breakfast tomorrow, I think, with some traders and some brokers that, purchase U.S. products. And for us to be able to tell them how much we care and what we do with our product is, you know, a big deal. It really kind of connects the dots and puts a name with the face there.
Yep. No doubt about it. Well, just how important is it? Through July of this year, Korea has purchased $1.4 billion in U.S. beef and $432 million in U.S. pork. So we are talking about a market that is critically important to the both beef and pork and our export picture there. Jay, thank you so much for making time for us. Josh, thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your trip.
Thanks, Chip.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Jay Taylor, he is the Executive VP for Corporate Affairs at AgriBeef, and he is the USMEF Chair-Elect. And John Mashoff, President of the Illinois Pork Producers Association and Director of Production at the Mashoffs. We'll be back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Want to get...
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Are you worried about your taxes? Okay, so I'm talking to those of you out there that have not filed in a few years with the IRS or state. It's time to get worried, and here's why. The IRS is getting back from their own COVID lockdown, and they're hiring more enforcers, and they're going to come after people that owe taxes. So if you're a 1099 worker, and maybe you just plain forgot to file your taxes, you need to call the professionals right now at the Tax Helpline. They are experts at knowing the tax regulations, and their goal is to help you pay as little as possible. Call right now and get a 100% free tax evaluation. Remember, before the IRS knocks on your door, knock on our door. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, make this free call right now.
Call Taxes 321 now at 800-808-9443. 800-808-9443. That's 800-808-9443.
You know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. 409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.34% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you were with us. Let's talk about what's happening in the world of sorghum. We've got Amy France, the chair of the National Sorghum Producers, with us right now. Amy, it is good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm great, Chip. Thank you so much for allowing us to come on this morning.
You bet. Glad that you are here. Amy, we've been talking about the Maha Commission proposals that were out. From the sorghum growers' perspectives, was there anything in those proposals that really caught your attention?
You know, I think we were all a little bit nervous, and our biggest plea coming back into this August report was, please listen to the farmers, ask us for our input. And we believe that firsthand we experienced that they did ask us. We had great conversations, and I'll tell you, Chip, a big chunk of those conversations were directed to education. They had a lot of questions. And so we really took advantage of saying, hey, this is what sorghum can do. You know, we're a little bit unique in this commodity world, and, you know, we're gluten-free, nutrient dense. So there's a little bit different outlook when it comes to sorghum. But I would say we were very grateful for the opportunity to have those conversations, shed some light on some sorghum specific things. And I can't go without saying that we're excited that, you know, they recognize EPA and the gold standard of crop protection, and that it's rooted in science. So I would say those are our biggest things, and just grateful for the opportunity to weigh in.
Good, good. Excellent. I appreciate those thoughts and comments there, Amy, very much. Challenging times in all of agriculture. There is no question about it. What's it like to be a sorghum producer in the U.S. right now, Amy?
It's difficult, Chip. You're right. I mean, not everybody grows just one commodity, but man, across my drive is a beautiful crop of sorghum. And we've had some incredible timely rains this fall for our crop. And I think we're looking at about a 23% increase for this year's harvest. So, you know, that's a blessing. And then I'm going to hit you with China exports are down 97%. Nothing you don't know. But, you know, they're our number one export. And so we are definitely facing some very challenging times and could lead to crisis. And so we're saying, Chip, all right, we need 200 million bushel to move in the next 150 days. That's where sorghum sits today.
okay, 200 million bushels to move through what channels? Through the export channels?
Any of it. Any of it. And I would say, but honestly, Chip, I would say export would be number one because we are at max capacity here domestically. You know, we're doing all that we can. And, but, you know, historically, China and food aid together accounted for over 50 to 75% of our total sorghum market. And that's all gone. So, yes, definitely export. We need things to move quickly and a lot of it.
Yeah. No question about it. You know, we talk up all the time on AgriTalk about how the bean market is missing the Chinese demand. We have Davis, I don't know if we've even mentioned that sorghum is missing out on the Chinese demand, but it's a major story for what's happening in the sorghum market. It's going to change how that crop flows, isn't it, Amy? I mean, it's so much more of it's going to have to stay in the domestic feed and fuel markets.
Yeah. And, you know, Chip, the loss of the Chinese market is more severe for sorghum than any other commodity. And, you know, because you have taken out, as I said, our single most critical outlet, and our rural elevators are strained. Our rural economy is going to feel the hurt. One thing to put in perspective, you know, we've been pounding the pavement for over a year in DC saying, hey, things are changing, things are coming. We have 7 elevators that have closed between Lubbock and Amarillo, Texas, in the heart of sorghum Texas country. 7 elevators. So you tell me that we're not already seeing the effects. So we're talking about effects on our farmers. We're also talking about what does our sorghum industry look like in 2026. You know, our CEO, Tim Less, says, I remember when barley was having these conversations and they turned into a specialty crop. We cannot let that happen.
Yeah. Boy, those are great observations. And kind of telling of the time that we're going through here, Amy, it's tough in a lot of different segments of agriculture right now. But you're out there in the middle of cattle country as well, and you look at how things are working on the cattle side of the balance sheets versus how things are working on the crop side. I don't think we've ever seen a divergence like we're seeing right now, have we?
Oh, not that I'm aware of. And I think we have to continue to preach that message, too, when we look at, you know, farm income going up. I'm sorry. We don't have things separated properly. That is not what we see firsthand is happening. And so, you know, it is great for those that run livestock as well. And so, you know, being diversified and, you know, sorghum is being diversified, how it's being used, the markets we're looking at. We've been looking at other markets a lot. I know I gave Sean Haney a hard time because he was poo-poo in India. And our number one immediate is China. Continue to fight this battle to not put all of our eggs in the basket, but we can only do so much. And it's a no-brainer. India is that. But, you know, framework and talk are one thing, but until we see actual boats on the water, signatures on lines, and market to reflect, we've got nothing.
Man, that's well put. Very well put, Amy. We've got to get some measurables in these trade agreements, and it would be great to see sorghum get some of the benefit of that going forward. Amy, great conversation, and thank you for giving us an update on what's happening in sorghum down there in the Southwest. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. That is Amy France, chair of the National Sorghum Producers. Wow. Okay. Thank you so much for listening this morning. We've got a great conversation coming your way this afternoon. Get you ready for the USDA reports. We've got Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. He'll be here. And tomorrow morning, Chris Bennett from Farm Journal and a free-for-all with Wiesmeyer, Michelson, and me right here on AgriTalk.
When you're an expert on soil and crops, you're a soil scientist. When you're an expert on the weather, you're a meteorologist. And when you're an expert on soybeans, you are an Asgrow farmer.
Like you, Asgrow Brand is relentlessly focused on soybeans, with localized products featuring leading genetics and weed management systems. It all works together to give you maximum profit potential. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow Brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When I asked Scott Lucky if his last name had anything to do with his success in the trucking industry, he laughed and said, "Well, Mike, I guess you could say I've always been lucky." But when I asked him how he and his family grew Lucky Distribution Services into the company it is today, he didn't talk about luck at all. "We work hard," he said. "We keep a close eye on the bottom line, and we treat our people the right way." In other words, Scott Lucky makes his own luck, which is precisely why he switched to Pure Talk Business. "Last month, I paid the big guys $740 for 12 lines," he told me. "This month, I paid Pure Talk $420 for the exact same service." Thousands of businesses all over the country are saving real money by switching to America's most dependable 5G network, and luck has nothing to do with it. Just dial #250 and say micro. That's #250 micro to switch to a wireless company that works as hard as you do. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News.